Let's read this text again from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We've been reading it each Sunday as we work through this text. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Have you ever heard someone say, a faithful friend is hard to find? Or maybe you've heard someone say, or maybe you've said, I hope you have, I've been faithful to my wife or to my husband. Or maybe you've been at a ceremony and you've heard someone say, today we're recognizing you for 40 years of faithful service. And they give you, you know, the company watch or the pin or whatever it is. Or maybe you've heard someone say, her speech went down very well with the party faithful. Or in spite of persecution, he remained faithful unto death. Well, what exactly does it mean to be faithful? And how do you exhibit faithfulness in your own life? How do you do that? Well, today we're going to study this seventh fruit, the seventh one listed in the fruit of the Spirit list, the one called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Well, it simply means to be loyal, to be dependable, to be trustworthy and responsible. In other words, if a person is faithful, you can count on them to keep their word and to do their job. So they're honest and they're ethical and you can depend on them. And the best way I know of helping you see what it really means to be faithful is to talk about someone we all know who is very, very faithful. It's the best way I know how to describe it to you and picture it for you. I want to start today by showing you how great God's faithfulness is. And the thread has been through all the songs this morning. I don't know if you picked up on it or not. But let's begin there with number one, we are totally dependent on God's faithfulness. We are totally dependent on God's faithfulness. Now, I want you to think for just a minute about the absolute necessity of the faithfulness of God. I mean, think about this. Even when we're not actively depending on God's faithfulness, do you realize that God's faithfulness is still what keeps us safe forever? That even when we're not actively depending on His faithfulness, we are still dependent upon His faithfulness to keep us safe forever? Even when we're not trusting, we're still being undergirded. He is faithful to us even when we're not trusting in His faithfulness to us. Hallelujah. He's faithful to us even when we're not being very faithful to Him in our lives. He's our Savior. He's our keeper. I don't know if you ever noticed when we close so many of our services, the benediction that I give you, that the Lord gave to Aaron in Numbers chapter 6 is, may the Lord bless you and what? Keep you. Keep you. He's our keeper. He's our Savior and He's our keeper, even when our faith is faltering. Listen to these words from 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself, and we're in Him. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Thank God that's true. In fact, let me help you thank God for His faithfulness in six particular ways. Now, these are going to move quickly. They're going to come rapidly, and the first half of every point is the same. So if you're taking notes, that'll help you save time, okay? First off, is we're dependent on God's faithfulness for our salvation. for our salvation. We depend on his faithfulness for that. Thank God our salvation and our everlasting joy does not depend on the strength of our faith or on the consistency of our faithful lives, our faithfulness to him. It doesn't depend on that. Our eternal salvation depends entirely, entirely upon God's faithfulness to us, not our faithfulness to him. In fact, it depends on his faithfulness to us in spite of our failures, in spite of our failures of faith, in spite of our failures to obey him. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 through 9 says, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. God is faithful. He will keep you. He will sustain you to the end. God is faithful to us. Listen, if it were not for the Lord, we would be lost forever. If it were not for his steadfast love, we would be punished forever in hell. If it were not for his unfailing grace, we would be without hope. But God is faithful. Always. Always. God is faithful. See, God isn't inconsistent. No, he's not like us. He's not like me. God isn't inconsistent. He isn't fickle. He isn't moody. Liking us one day and put out with us another day. God's not like that. He's steady. He doesn't hear our prayers one day and just ignore them other days. He doesn't provide for us sometimes and neglect us other times. Now, I will say, he does test us, but he never abandons us. And God isn't unpredictable. He's not unpredictable. Now, it's true that God's ways are mysterious to us. God works in mysterious ways. They're not always known ahead of time, not always understandable to us why God works the way he does, but God isn't unpredictable. His character and his love are rock solid, steady, and unchanging. The $10 theological word is God is immutable. Doesn't change. God isn't volatile. Up one day, down the another day. Loving and kind one day, harsh and frightening the other. God's not like that. God isn't temperamental. He isn't capricious. Meaning he doesn't suddenly change his mind or his mood or his behavior like the changing of the wind. God is consistent. God is unchanging. Day in, day out, yesterday, today, and forever, what? The same. He's the rock under our feet. He's the fortress who surrounds us. He's our shelter and our shade. He is unchanging and he is unchanged. Dependable. Oh, so dependable. More dependable than the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. Because you realize one day it won't do that. There'll be no need for the sun. He's more steady than the waves crashing on the beach. He is more sturdy than the Rocky Mountains or even the Himalayas. He's as faithful as clockwork. In fact, you know, it's his faithfulness is the reason that the clock works. You see, he made time and he's the one that keeps it ticking in perfect rhythm. The clock is faithful because God is faithful. He never fails. He never forsakes. He never sleeps. He never forgets us. He never lets us slip out of his hands. He always keeps his word. He always follows through. He's always trustworthy. He is always true. He always loves us no matter what. We call that unconditional love. He's faithful. The Bible calls it steadfast love. Hear the words of Lamentations 3 again this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord, get this, never ceases. It's not like a faucet. On, off, on, off. It never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end point. We call that infinite, eternal. They are new. How often, church? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great. Not small. Great is your faithfulness. And God's faithfulness is most sweetly seen in Jesus' faithfulness. For God's faithfulness took on flesh. Because Jesus was faithful. He was obedient to God even unto death. Listen to Philippians 2 and hear the faithfulness in this description of Jesus. He emptied himself. Why? God wanted him to. And he was willing. And he did it. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's the reason our salvation is firm and secure. It's all because Jesus' faithfulness to God, because he has faithfully obeyed, because he has died and risen again. Hebrews 6 says, we now have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Our anchor doesn't go down to the water. Our anchor goes up into the heavens. And we have this, that Jesus was faithful even unto death, death on a cross. That's what makes our salvation sure and steadfast. That's the anchor of our souls. Faithfulness. So our salvation from sin is dependent on God's faithfulness. Not only that, but next, we're dependent on God's faithfulness for our sanctification. Our growing in grace, our purification from sin, our becoming more and more like Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he who calls you is faithful, he surely will do it. You know it in the words that Paul said when he said that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. He's faithful, is why you're being sanctified. We're even dependent on God's faithfulness for our deliverance from each and every individual temptation to sin. Every temptation to sin, every one we ever face. We're dependent on God's faithfulness for deliverance from it. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man, but God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted above your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So we're dependent on God for our salvation. We're dependent on his faithfulness for our sanctification. Next, we're dependent on God's faithfulness to protect us from being destroyed by the devil's attacks. Now, we will be attacked by the devil, but we won't be destroyed by them. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. So since we belong to the Lord, we can never be destroyed by Satan. Even though we can cooperate with the devil by sinning. But the good news is that even if we fall through the devil's temptations and we sin, next is we're dependent on God's faithfulness for our forgiveness and cleansing. Do you hear that word in 1 John 1:9? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only that, next, we're dependent on God's faithfulness for deliverance through times of suffering. 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." And not only is God faithful through our times of suffering, he's faithful to end our suffering once and for all when he sends his Son to come again. So next, we depend on God's faithfulness for our ultimate hope of eternal life. I mean, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, says, "I go to prepare a place for you," Jesus said, "and I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And when God gave the Apostle John the vision of Christ coming again, he said in Revelation 19:11, hear this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." Picture it in your mind. A white horse. "And one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." And so by God's amazing grace, we are now servants of the one who is called Faithful and True. That's his name. So every aspect, I've just walked you through this, every aspect from our salvation to our eternal deliverance and eternal life with him in heaven, every aspect of our Christian life rests on the faithfulness of God. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalm 89, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever and that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself." Listen, search the scriptures and you'll soon realize that the entire Bible is simply the story of God's faithfulness. It's on every page. And as God's servants, we must become like him in our faithfulness, in our character. This is the work of sanctification, the Holy Spirit conforming us to the image of Jesus, shaping our lives, knocking off that which does not look like Christ, forming us in his image. And what that means is that faithfulness has to become a prominent virtue of our lives by the help of the Holy Spirit. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Faithfulness must become a prominent virtue of our lives. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said in verses 1 and 2, he said, "This is how one should regard us. This is how people should think of us. This is how they should see us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." That's another way of referring to the gospel. Servants of Christ, stewards of the gospel. "Moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful." So number two, as God's servants, we must be found faithful, like our Lord. Faithful, trustworthy, dependable, reliable. Let me give you four practical ways. There are more. Let me give you four practical ways to demonstrate faithfulness in your life. Here we go. The first one, be absolutely honest. Be absolutely honest. In everything you say, in everything you do. I'm just now remembering when our kids were little. my wife would get after them when they would say, "I promise." Remember? "I promise." So what's wrong with that? Well, the correction was, you should never need to say that. Your word should always be true and honest. You should never need to say, "I promise," so that they would really believe you. Or, "I swear." Or, what do kids say today? "I pinky swear." I guess the pinky has more authority than the index finger. Be absolutely honest in everything you say and do. A faithful person is absolutely honest. Not only in what you say, but in the way you act. Because you can act dishonestly as well. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says this. Listen, this is strong. You ready? "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are truthful." Here another one, Proverbs 11, verse 1. "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him." So those are used for business and for trading. So keep your word. And Psalm 15 says, keep your word to your own hurt, even if it hurts you, even if it costs you. Even if it costs you more, keep your word. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth every time. Never lie. Never mislead. Never deceive. Never try to create a false impression. Never distort the truth. A faithful person never pretends they're something they're not. Like when you say one thing to a person's face, but something else behind their back. Or like when you cheat on an exam. Or when you cheat in a game. Fudge the score. Or when you cheat on your taxes. Or exaggerating or manipulating the facts of a story. Or padding the numbers in a business document to gain an advantage. Well, let's be honest, shall we? Probably none of us in this room is as honest as we consider ourselves to be. We excuse so often what we consider to be little white lies, or whatever you want to call them. Because, well, they don't hurt anybody. But wait a minute. God detests lying lips. And he detests dishonest practices. And he demands absolute integrity. Listen, if you'll excuse little lies, little dishonesties, you'll eventually excuse bigger and bigger ones. Because dishonesty tends to snowball. The more you do it, the worse you get. Because the more you do it, the more your conscience becomes numb to it. Listen, Jesus said in Luke 16, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." Quantity's not the issue. Dishonesty is the issue. Listen, Jesus was never dishonest. Can you even imagine that in your mind, Jesus being dishonest? It's unthinkable to me. He was always absolutely, faithfully honest. I mean, can you even imagine Jesus telling a lie? Can you even imagine him fudging the truth a bit? He is the truth. Now let's be his servant and let the servant be like his Lord. Amen. Next, be utterly dependable. Be utterly dependable. You know what this means? you're sleeping, wake up. Show up when you're supposed to. Can I get some amens from some bosses in here? Okay. Or parents? Show up when you're supposed to. Be on time. All the time. Every time. Things happen. People understand that. But your pattern should be that you're reliable. Be on time. You know, few things are as frustrating than relying on somebody who isn't dependable. It's really, really frustrating. Even the Proverbs talk about this in their own picturesque way. Proverbs 10:26 says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send them. Right? A sluggard, what? That's somebody who's habitually lazy. It's their unfaithfulness that makes them so frustrating. They're constantly late, won't show up on time, or won't do their job, or won't do their job on time, or maybe not even at all. It's not my job. Or I just didn't make it a priority. But too often, dependability, here's how it gets dumped. We dump dependability for our own personal desire or some distraction that catches our eye, catches our mind, some distraction happens, or we'll dump dependability for some convenience. In other words, that being dependable is inconvenient in the moment. And so, I'll be there if it's convenient, if my third alarm doesn't wake me up in time, I'll be there. If my third alarm wakes me up on time, I'll be there on time. Or I'll be at church on Sunday if I don't have something greater, some greater obligation, or if I'm not too tired from Saturday night. Listen, is your direction in life, is your pattern in life controlled by the shifting winds of circumstances and spontaneous desire, or is your pattern and direction in life controlled by keeping your word and fulfilling your duties to the Lord and to other people? Which is it? I mean, if you want to practice godliness, this is a godliness issue. This isn't just, I'm not just giving you time management, A to Z steps to time management. You can get that on a motivational. Go listen to a TED Talk. You want that. This is about godliness. If you want to practice godliness, if you want to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then dependability is a duty that you owe to the Lord. And listen, if you dig deeper on this, which we don't have time to do, I'll just tell you, you'll discover in Scripture that unfaithfulness is very close to disobedience. This is a godliness issue. Next, third, be firmly loyal. Be firmly loyal to your family, to your friends. Being loyal means sticking with somebody through thick and thin. It means not abandoning them or being mean to them when things get tough. It means not betraying them. You know how we say that today? It means not throwing them under the bus. You know, if a person's loyalty does not make them faithful in the hard times, even in the tense times of the relationship, if your loyalty doesn't make you faithful in the hard times, in the times of stress, listen, then you're not really a faithful friend at all. You're just simply using the other person for your own purposes. They're just there if it's convenient, if it serves your purposes. Listen, since loyalty is only really proven in the tough times, I mean, think about what I just said. Loyalty is really only proven in the tough times. It's easy to be loyal when everything's going good and happy and people are doing things that you like. Loyalty is really only proven in the tough times. And since that's true, that means loyalty is usually costly. and you'll usually need the Holy Spirit to help you pay the price. Lord, help. Faithfulness in the form of loyalty is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness in the form of loyalty is a fruit of the Spirit. It could be said for all these points. Faithfulness in the form of honesty is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness in the form of dependability is a fruit of the Spirit. These are godliness issues. And let me give you a fourth. This will be the last one. Again, I could say so many things, but number four, be determined to never quit following Jesus. This is about faithfulness. Be determined to never quit following Jesus. Some of you know this. You've heard this. Some of you have even heard the audio. You can get it online. In 1941, months before Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill said this to an audience in England. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. We have only to persevere to conquer. Listen, the menace of the enemy of our souls, the menace of the enemy and the attacks will beat upon you. Just like the London air raids did, the bombings. And some of you are in that right now. You're just getting carpet bombed. But be faithful to Jesus Christ, who is always faithful to you. The pressure, listen, church, the pressure to compromise or abandon the Scriptures is going to be tremendous on you and me. Tremendous. It's already becoming that way. But don't flinch. Don't flinch. Don't waver. Don't give in. Don't quit. Never, 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 never. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You know this. The writer tells us to run the race all the way to the finish line because Jesus has run the race and he's finished it ahead of us. And so in spite of the suffering, in spite of the pain on his back, on his brow, on his face, in spite of the loss all around him, in spite of the betrayal of his friends, in spite of the cruel mockery and the sin laid on his soul, Jesus never quit. His face was set like a flint toward the cross. He was faithful to his Father to the bitter, bitter end. And he's always faithful to us in every single second of our lives. He's faithful. He's worthy is what he is. Because of what I just described to you out of Hebrews 12, he's worthy. He's worthy. So never stop following Jesus and never stop obeying his word. Never quit. Determine that now. Keep on keeping on, we say. Yes, it will cost you. Yes, it will cost you. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, it will be hard. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's going to be happy and clappy all the way from here to heaven. It's not. There will be days of joy. There will be days of mourning. There will be days of dancing and days of weeping. The race is long. Oh, how I'm feeling how long the race is. It is tough. And yes, it's worth it. And listen, I need to hear that today, as I hope you do as well. It is worth it. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And don't doubt if it's worth it. Oh, listen, it will be worth it when we see Jesus. It will be worth it. So be faithful. Like Paul said, he was at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Be faithful like that. In fact, be faithful like the early church father, Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. Polycarp was the bishop of the church at Smyrna. We'll come back to that. Remember that. Kill the church leader, and his church will die, the Romans said. And so they arrested him. And they brought Polycarp before a crowd to be tried, and the mob shouted in rage at him, I mean, viciously. And as he was standing there, he says that he heard a voice saying, be strong and play the man. And when the magistrate told him, deny Christ and your life will be spared, that faithful bishop answered like this, 86 years I have served him, and he has never done me injury. How then can I now blaspheme my King and Savior? And he was killed. But a few years earlier, Jesus Christ said to the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2, be faithful unto death, church of Smyrna and its leader. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, I told you how to be faithful. Now the question is, how long do you have to be faithful? Faithful unto death. It will be so worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, will you set your steadfast love upon us. And will you undergird us with your faithfulness while we put our hope in you? In Jesus' name, amen.